Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, December 18th, 2014. And with me today, I have my international experts, Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
That's Dr. Chaffin.
Excuse me, Dr. Chaffin. How are you today?
I am excellent. Thank you for having me.
Cool. Glad you're here. And Doctor of Mixology, Dave Hamilton. How are you?
Good. I walked to Canada once.
See, there you go. International man of mystery and intrigue.
Where'd you start from?
Niagara Falls, New York.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. See, that's a big climb. That's a lot of work. You really accomplished something. I'm proud of you, Dave.
Yeah, the accomplishment was getting back in without having any form of proof of citizenship.
Are you serious?
Yes.
When was this? How have I not heard this story? How long have we've been business partners for 16 years, sir.
This happened before I met you. How long
is,
can we?
Is there a before I met you?
There is a before you met me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the before time.
It was quite interesting. It was 1995. I was on the road with a band. We didn't have any, we had our driver's licenses. And so, you know, there were three of us. We showed them our driver's licenses. They're like, that's great. It says you can drive in our country now. About your citizenship, sir, you know. And what was amazing to me about this and still amazes me is they said, all right, look, you're idiot American, right? they're like, okay, this was in the U.S. Canada, we had no trouble. Pay a quarter, let us write in. No problem. What's your country of citizenship? USA. Great, thanks. Done. Coming back was the problem. They're like, yeah, okay, you know, you're supposed to have stuff with you, but you don't – what's your full name and your city of birth? This is a tiny little border station on the walking bridge between U.S. and Canada right there in Niagara Falls. And they type things in. They're like, yep, you're good to go. And I was like, whoa. In 1995, they had access to the database of the entirety of the country right there? That was pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Second guy, no problem. Third guy was from Gander, Newfoundland. He was naturalized when he was 5. That was a problem. They looked at him. They're like, these guys are idiots. They were born here. They don't know any better. You weren't. You do. You should have had your stuff with you. So they made him recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Fantastic story.
I know.
That's an awesome story. And which version of the pledge did he recite?
The only one that I know. So evidently I've missed out on some changes.
Pre-1950.
Correct, the original one. Yeah.
Post.
Yeah, so pre-1950, it does not have under God.
Oh, no, he did under God.
He stayed
with the whole thing.
So he did the newer version. All right.
Don't you know?
Hey, okay, well, since we're all international, why don't we start off with this whole thing with Apple in Russia, or Apple not in Russia, as the case may be. And for those of you that aren't up to speed on this, the ruble is not doing so well in the international market. And its value is dropping so rapidly that earlier this week, Apple decided that they needed to just simply stop selling through their online store in Russia while they sort out how to handle the ruble.
Well, the problem is not that the ruble's value has declined. It's the volatility with which it has been changing. So, I mean, Apple, if the problem was simply that the ruble was just worthless today, well, then Apple could ask for more rubles and be done with it. But the problem is that it's extremely volatile. And when prices, I think it was 15% over 2 days as of yesterday. I don't know what it's done today. That makes for a problem for anyone selling from outside of the country.
Yes, and inside the country, it looks like people are storming retailers to buy everything they can while the ruble is really low. So that's not good for their economy.
Yeah, that actually is not good for them.
And yet, that that's exactly what's happening.
Huh. Yeah,
and this just charge people bitcoins. That's all.
Well, you know, Bitcoin is very popular in Russia, or at the very least, there are a lot of Russians involved in the Bitcoin economy for good and ill, I might add.
Sure.
This is all about oil, and this is all about in many regards, assuming. President Obama didn't call up his friends in Saudi Arabia and said, hey, could you do me a solid? Assuming that that wasn't the case, this is really all about Saudi Arabia trying to take control of the oil markets and put a crimp on fracking here in the U.S. by making it unprofitable to do so because the price of oil is so low, and also to hurt Iran in the process. I mean, this is like fun international high intrigue, big time power plays by the rich and powerful, and companies like Apple and plenty of other international companies sometimes get caught up in the squeeze.
Yeah. So what's the answer? How long will this last, Brian?
Well, sir, I will tell you from my perch as Dr. Chaffin. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay.
We don't really have any. I would assume things will stabilize within a few months at the latest. But
so
that's a long time.
Yeah, that's a long time for Apple to not be selling products in Russia.
It's true, but Apple is not necessarily huge in Russia to begin with. I heard a report on NPR yesterday say that. Trade with Russia in general represents about 1% of the U.S.'s international trade, which is pretty small. Overall, correct.
We don't know Apple's percentage, but you can extrapolate from there. Yeah,
correct. Apple does talk a lot about the BRIC nations and about growth there, but I think that Russia has always been kind of a bit of a problem for the last couple of years, because remember the Russians accused Apple of giving the NSA and the CIA backdoors,
right?
And
yes,
into Apple products so that they could spy on Russians, which was, you know, that was just all about, you know, they don't actually believe that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm assuming that was all political posturing.
Yeah, fun now, stuff though.
Not selling iPhones officially in Russia. I'm wondering what sort of impact that will have outside of Russia, because that has been a popular destination for Europeans who want to buy iPhones on the cheap. Mm. Because Apple hadn't for a long time changed prices in Russia. So the value that you got for your currency when you went to Russia was better than other places. So people were making trips to Russia just so they could buy iPhones.
Mm.
That won't be happening.
Probably not huge numbers, though.
Probably not, because unless you're planning on doing other things while you're there, that's kind of an expensive way to get a discount on an iPhone.
This is, you know, I mean, it obviously international politics are always going to have an effect, either directly or sort of a ripple effect on a company like Apple, right, and an industry like the tech industry, but. I mean, this is interesting how quickly we're seeing this happening, right? Where, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, now we've. I mean, Apple had to halt sales. That's a big deal, right? I mean, this is not par for the course.
No, it's not. But remember that Apple wasn't selling to the carriers, and right. that Apple doesn't have any physical Apple stores. So. Right.
Online store, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, just the online store. It's a big deal, but it was really probably a matter of in web objects, you know, flipping the bit to zero.
Yeah, no, I mean the decision is a big deal, right? Yeah, it's no big deal at all to flip the switch, and I'm sure that contributed to them choosing this path, because it's not like they have to. You know, put employees on furlough or anything, right? There's none of that going on. It's just, stop selling there. But still, making that move is big. I mean, it's like this thing with Sony, right? And and canceling this movie.
It's just like this thing with Sony because it has everything to do with Apple.
Well, okay, but it does have a lot to do with Apple. Apple's in the entertainment business too, right? So what if somebody says, hey, we don't like the app that you're selling. We don't like the case manufacturer that you're selling in the Apple stores. So, we don't like the way that you treated the workers at the factory. So if you release the iPhone 7, we're going to bomb your stores. Right. I mean, that's effectively the same thing that happened with Sony in this movie, The Interview, right? Where somebody said, yeah, we don't like what's been going on over there at Sony. We also don't like the movie.
Okay, let's just give up the pretense this has anything to do with Apple. It's just it's a fantastic topic.
Well, but it could. I mean, it very well could.
That's true. In that a major corporation was extorted by a
technology / entertainment company was extorted. I mean, this isn't like it's GE being extorted, which is also bad. Right. You know, but it's a technology entertainment company. I mean, these people have been should be, especially on the entertainment side, largely immune to political pressure and threats like this. And they're not.
OK, so the backstory is that the Seth Rogen,
James Franco,
film, The Interview, which has as a plot premise the idea that these two knuckleheads out of Hollywood have been tasked by the CIA with killing Kim Jong-il.
Right.
Assassinating him.
It's the kind of movie that you know is going to be offensive, and if you like these kinds of movies, you're going to love it anyway.
Yeah, it's the kind of movie that would have done a good $50 million
yeah.
at the box office had North Korea not decided that this was an act of war by the U.S., which is
crazy.
It's just. I mean, can you imagine what it's
really
like?
If we were going to use a movie as an act of war, I think we would just send over copies of Zhijili to North Korea.
Wow, you're going there, are you? But wow. So this movie was the hackers. From North Korea, we now know, we always assumed, but now we know, hacked into Sony's various corporate databases and stole all kinds of information, stole 5 unreleased films and released them, stole the scripts to various movies that are in production and released those, and all of it was as a way of getting leverage over Sony to cancel The Interview, and Sony actually capitulated.
Well, Sony did not really.
Well, they did. Eventually, yeah,
they did, but there is a reason for it.
Yeah, right. And it was theaters that initially said, "Yeah, we're backing out. We're not going to show this movie."
Because those same hackers threatened 9/11 style attacks. You know, because hackers are so good at doing physical terrorist attacks in the real world, right? Against theaters that showed the film.
So what that tells me then is that the theater industry is really worried that they have no way of actually securing or protecting their own networks.
Well, yeah, the theaters were worried. I doubt the theaters were worried that an attack would actually take place. I think the theaters were worried that Christmas, the biggest time of the year for this industry, that people would just stay home because they have other things to do. Because of the threat, which is also ridiculous. I mean, so this you know sort of starts because Sony did not capitulate for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks on this.
Right.
It wasn't until the theaters started dropping them, and you know in the U.S. you have a few major theater chains that represent an enormous chunk of the number of screens available to all of the movie studios, and it only takes a few of those to basically mean that your movie doesn't have much of an audience.
Now, what happens if Apple steps in and says, hey, come sell this through iTunes. We'll release it on Christmas Day. People can watch it at home, you know, charge $15 for it, right? But, you know, I mean, sell it as a movie.
I would end up buying it on Christmas Day. Yeah, I would drop $15 sight unseen on that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Joss Whedon tweeted man, the interview better be funny because there's no way I'm not watching it now.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the case. I mean, this movie is going to get such a – I mean, it was no one would have gone to go see this film.
Well, and some people would have. But, it would have been the typical Seth Rogen, James Franco. Right. I mean, it's that pack of guys. That's right.
Yep. It cost $45 million to make. You know, they would have made a little money off of it. And
it would have done well on video.
Forgotten. Yeah. Would have done well in video. Yeah.
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 But now I'm watching it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If I can get it, I'm watching it. Absolutely. Yeah. But I don't like that we're capitulating to threats about and showing fear about assembling and mass in public. Right. I mean, that's really where this gets dicey, because we don't want to lend any credence to anyone who says, you can't get together because I don't like the reason you're getting together.
Right.
And now that this has happened with the interview.
Oh, yeah.
You know. That just opened the floodgates.
And that's where
we're going to see more and more.
And that's where I worry about Apple. I mean, it really is, right? Because they sell so many things that there's bound to be something that they sell on the App Store, via iTunes, in the retail store. They're a big company. They make a good target. They get a lot of press. There's a lot of reason that someone would want to target Apple to further their agenda simply for the PR of doing so.
Well, and there's probably even more reasons for people to target, say, Google. Because Gmail in particular and GChat are used by I would imagine billions, but certainly a billion people around the world.
A metric buttload of people.
And Google has been the subject of numerous hacking attempts, especially out of China and Russia and various other repressive regimes. So
go ahead.
But just no, it's just this whole thing. I hate that Sony capitulated. Yeah. I really, really do.
Yeah. They didn't really have a choice. Like you said, they didn't have a theater to show this thing in. But the whole chain,
any theater that did show it would have been packed.
Yes.
And then the other theaters would have been scrambling to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are indie theaters that are publicly saying, we're not afraid of terrorists. We want to show the movie. Let us do that, Sony.
Yeah, and the Department of Homeland Security, I'm reading a CNN piece from this morning. Department of Homeland Security said, there's no credible intelligence, unquote, supporting any active plot against any movie theater. I mean, that was obvious. That was a ham-fisted, bumbling threat to begin with. You'd fly jets into theater. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's war, right? I mean, you're not talking about one target. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really, how do you get the planes into the malls?
Drones, Jeff. Drones.
Drones, of course. It totally makes sense now.
Actually, to your question, Ryan, hackers have, you facetiously said that hackers are very good at organizing attacks with drones out there. That actually may become more and more true.
Oh, that's true. That's a really good point. It could become true.
Very quickly.
Yeah. It's probably not true today.
Right.
But at some point, it seems like that's possible. That'll be an entirely different TDO.
Boy, howdy.
Where has this one gone? Do we still have time to talk about anything else, or are we out of time?
Well, we're out of time, but if you guys really, really want to talk about something else, we'll run late.
I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, Netflix, the other topic we had, right, was Netflix is not going to do offline viewing.
Sure. And, entertainment industry. Yeah. So, all right. Well, how about the short version of that, which is that Netflix thinks that that giving people offline viewing is not a good idea, because it's a short-term fix for an issue that they think will be resolved within 5 years, which is ubiquitous broadband Wi-Fi. And so they're opting to not get into the offline viewing market.
ubiquitous broadband Wi-Fi that has the ability to sustain multiple simultaneous HD or even just standard def streams in a concentrated area like an airplane.
Exactly.
We hope that this is solved in 5 years because we sure didn't think about doing offline viewing when we signed our content partnership.
Shut up. I'm going to hold my breath until it happens.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they can, right? They would have to renegotiate everything because they don't have offline viewing deals with their digital content.
Yeah. Their excuse really does. It sounds like an excuse.
Yeah.
It actually sounds like a bad effort at misdirection.
Right. Yeah. Look over there. Yeah. Nothing to see here. Yeah. 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 Wait 5 years. Then ask us again, please. Right. I mean, that's basically what this says is, I predicted the future. You can't prove me wrong for 5 whole years. Right.
That's true. Even though in 5 years they will be proven wrong. But we might have forgotten about it by then.
Right. Well, some of us won't. But yes.
Yeah, some of us will remember. And in 5 years.
I'll look to John Gruber and his claim chowder on that one.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. And then in the meantime, Apple and Amazon and several other companies are more than happy to sell you or rent you content for offline viewing.
Yeah, works great.
Yeah.
Ish. I mean, I wish I could get it for 48 hours, not 24, Apple, but you know.
Well, that's a matter of licensing too.
It is correct.
It's not a choice on Apple's part.
Right.
Obviously, it would be better for Apple if you could have it for a week or a month.
Right.
Sure. Right. Yeah. But licensing. So anyhow, I think this is a place where Netflix is going to miss out because there are clearly a lot of us that want offline viewing as
an option. Why did they bother saying this?
They were asked specifically about it. And so they responded.
I see.
Otherwise, I'm assuming they just wouldn't have said anything at all.
Yeah, I think a better answer would have been the studios don't want to give us those rights. So, you know, this is an issue we're working on all the time. Technology is an ever-changing factor involved in this. And we, of course, are looking for ways to bring the best experience possible to our users.
I'm sure the studios would be happy to give them the rights. They just don't.
For money.
For money.
Right. I mean, they're happy to give other people those rights.
Well, okay. Then in a manner of speaking, Netflix may have addressed that very obliquely by saying that that what they're focusing on is investing in new original programming and that over the next 5 years, they plan to release it's like at least 20 new shows.
Yeah.
So if we put those pieces together and we weave our elaborate tapestry out of the couple threads we have, Netflix may be saying that they don't think it's worth the investment to get offline viewing because they'll see a bigger return for their dollar by giving us new programming.
Oh, that would have been a better answer too. The answer they gave us was pretty silly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's all right.
Yeah.
It's less silly than the other thing we talked about.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
All right.
Slightly.
So we actually managed to squeeze three topics in today, ran over just a little bit, and had a lot of fun.
And probably managed to offend lots of people in the process. So, you know, yay us.
Well, they can't be offended watching the interview on Christmas Day. So we had to kind of, you know, take one for the team here.
You know, and that's how we roll. We're willing to take that for people. You're welcome. Yeah. All right. Well, Brian. wow.
I'm Brian. That's Dave.
Dave. John's been on so many times this week that I almost said John, tried to catch myself, and ended up choking in the process. I probably need therapy. Yeah.
Thanks, folks.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. We'll try this again tomorrow.